Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And you are the one, Lord, that gives us inspiration to speak your words. And let these words that come out this morning be your divinely ordained words. And let the entrance of those words into our lives bring light and give us understanding on how to know him, to know you even more, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome again, everybody. Let's get into this. The full title of this would have been much longer than the space allows on this app when you're creating a room. There's only so many characters you can put in there. But this would be the full title. I'm going to give it to you in a minute. You can write it down because these are all the things we're going to cover in this journey. So the full title is to seek him, to know him, to love him, to worship him, to serve him, to be like him, and reign with him. So it's a long journey. It's a process. And I'll tell you how some of those things connect. Well, the real thing is that we need to know him. We got to know him. But in order for us to know him, we have to seek him. So since we're taking this as a teaching, I'm going to give you scriptures that invite us on how to seek the Lord in order that we may know him. Now, this is not seeking the Lord for him to do something for us. Forget that one. This is us seeking the Lord in order to know him. So, you know, we're not talking about, there are moments in this room where we talk about, you know, believing God for this and that. We did the belief series. We did all of that, so forth. This is a different series. We need to focus on this series, which is our Ignite series, getting back to that fiery relationship. That's what this series is all about. And this is a critical part of it. We got to know him, seek him, find out his attributes, love him, adore him, serve him. You know, we need to become like him. That's got to be a goal in our hearts. And ultimately, we want to live with him forever. You know, so it's going to be a long series. That's why I've already chosen to break it down. You can see that I titled this one part one already. Praise God. So I'm not going to rush. You know, sometimes I try to rush to fit, and I'm not going to take too long since I already know I'm going to break it up into multiple sessions. So what does it mean for us to know the Lord? You know, that I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, which we also read this sometime in the last few days, Paul was talking about his desire, wanting to know the Lord. Something that will be unique for us to understand here is that this Paul, at the time that he was saying this, he already knew the Lord. So he wasn't like it was some kind of a young believer just coming into the faith, not knowing what he's doing or where he's going with the Lord. You know, he already knew the Lord. He's already achieved a lot. You know, but, you know, for someone like that to say, you know, that I still want to know him. I want to understand the power of his resurrection. I want to understand the fellowship of his sufferings and so on. By any means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he said, look, it's not that as though I had already attained. Now, this text you'll find in Philippians chapter 3, you know, from verse 8 or so. Actually, you can read it from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You know, so now he said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. So he's after the knowledge of Christ Jesus. For whom I suffer the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, you know, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Now that's the purpose of this mini series that's inside the part of this larger series, which is the Ignite series, that we may know him and to be found in him. Not having our own righteousness. Well, I mean, he was here according to the righteousness. He said, well, as touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. I know these things, I'm blameless and all of this. But he said, look, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and that I may understand the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow. We can't do anything but suffer with Christ. It's a full package of knowing him. You got to understand the fellowship of suffering with him, you know, and so on. And made conformable unto his death. What does that fellowship of his suffering mean? Well, he talked about it in the first chapter of this same Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, he talked about it in verse 29. He said, look, for unto you who have chosen, or I mean, who have been chosen of God and granted the grace to believe on him. Well, he said, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. I mean, this is what we are called into. Giving unto us not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now that's a complete package. And we need to understand that. And we need to know that. And Paul is saying, Lord, show me that. Teach me that. Let me understand that. Fellowship. Fellowship. That's sharing. Fellowship of his sufferings. I need to understand that. We cannot be an onlooker when it comes to the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. That's a package. Can't do it otherwise. That's the way God ordained it. And it's for a reason, to prove our loyalty. That's right. You know, so, you know, we are bought with a price. Paul explained many times. Said, look, you guys are bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. Nobody owns you but the Lord. Your employer doesn't own you. Your spouse doesn't even own you. I know that, you know, spouses and employers that make demands on your time and so forth as if they owned you. So only one person that owns you, and that's the Lord. Because he's the one that paid the price. That's right. That's where our allegiance should become. Of course, you got to give time to your spouse. You got to give time to your job. You got to give time to your kids. And all these things that make, you know, our businesses that make demands on our time. Okay. But they don't own us. There's only one person that owns you, and that's the Lord. Lock, stock, and barrel, if you want to call it that. Because he purchased us with a price. So you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. So someone like Paul, desiring to know the Lord after all of that experience, there's more to it than, you know, may meet the eye initially. But in order for us to know him, that's really the goal here, at least the first part of this lesson. But before you even know him, you've got to seek him. You know, I mean, how are you going to know somebody, you know, that, I mean, you don't even have not learned, you have not heard anything about, you know, how are you going to, even in the book of Romans chapter 10, it's talking about, you know, when we preach the gospel, when we try to tell people and when we try to bring them into Christ, you know, he's saying, well, the reason we do that is because, you know, how are they going to believe on him, on, you know, about whom they have not heard anything, you know, and how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach if they were not sent? You know, so people are not going to learn anything about the Lord unless there is something being revealed about him. But to learn, we have to seek. It's the reason we go to school. You know, we're seeking knowledge when we go to school. We're seeking experience when we go for some training. And so on and so forth. Yeah, I mean, we seek a lot of things in life. You know, and there's a pursuit. And people are always pursuing something. You know, in this great country called the United States, you know, there's always this thing they call the pursuit of happiness. You know, well, I don't know how they are going to find true happiness in all those things that they are pursuing after. But, you know, there's one thing that we should be seeking after. You know, it's one thing. Let's talk about that. So I'm going to break this up into different parts. The first part is to know him, we have to seek him. I'm going to talk about that. Then I'm going to talk about actually knowing him. If we are seeking him, he promised that if we seek him, we'll find him. We'll cover all those scriptures. But what does he want us to know about him? We're going to cover that. So second part, not part two of the series, but second part in this journey. First part of the journey is to seek him in order to know him. The second part is really to know him, which is the one that encompasses all of these pieces. It's, you know, it's like a seven-piece puzzle here. And we're going to find out how God wants to be known. And if we know him, then you love him. You really can't love somebody that you don't know. You know, I don't know how people can do that. You know, you get to know them better. You get to know them more. And you may begin to actually fall in love with them. You can't do it if you don't know them. You'd be deceiving yourself if you thought you did. Same thing with God. You know, God cannot, he wants us to love him, but he cannot expect us to love him. This will not be fair. You can't expect us to love him if we don't know you. You know, how are we going to love you? We don't even know you. You know, so, well, he has made provision for that. He has revealed himself in many ways, you know, revealed himself through the holy prophets and apostles, the scriptures and so forth. He even revealed himself through the Son of God. And he can now, the Son of God is gone. He gives us the Holy Spirit, constantly revealing himself. And so on and so forth. So, you know, when we begin to love him, then we transition into worshiping him. Now, again, this worship that we're going to talk about here today, which we have mentioned in this series, is not the one when we are singing praises. That's only a part of worship. You know, it's not even only the one that we bow down before him. That's an important part of worship. All of these are important parts. But it's a way of life. Our whole journey. That's how Jesus characterizes it. We'll be getting into that. You know, now, when you adore him like that and so forth, you worship him, he reveals himself more. The more we seek him, the more we know of him. The more we know of him, the more we learn to love him. Because you begin to see many attributes of him. And then you begin to worship, you know. And then you get to a point, you just want to serve him. You want to obey him. So that's number five. And then ultimately, we want to become like him. And the becoming like him is actually at the top. But it's a process. It takes us to do all these things before we can actually start to become like him. You can't become like somebody you don't know. You know, but, you know, the goal from the beginning was for us to become like him. He said that from the very beginning. Let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and so on. So we're going to cover all of that. And at the end of it, when it's all said and done, you know, where are we headed with all of that? Well, to reign with him. That's right. Reign with him and live with him eternally. My goodness. That's where we are headed. Because he promised it. I mean, it's not something that we, I mean, scripture says concerning the Christ that he did not think it robbery, you know, to claim equality with God. He wasn't going after it. He was already that. So why not, you know, claiming that we want to reign with him if he hasn't promised? He promised it. And that's the ultimate prize of the high calling. So how do we get from where we are to there? We talked about that prize yesterday. Now we're going to talk about the process of getting there. So here we go. Number one, to know him, we have to seek him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 to 14. A famous scripture that comes in the heels of Jeremiah 29:11. You know, a lot of people know that one because we quote it all the time. You know, like, you know, the thoughts of God towards us and so forth. You know, but you just drop down a few more verses and see what the Lord is actually saying. You know, and here's how he puts it. Remember, to know him, we have to seek him. And here's how he puts it here. He said, look, let me read it from verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me. Now, it's not like he's lost, but it's a God that hideth himself. Thou verily art a God that hideth thyself. So, you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you. That's a promise. You might call it, you know, when teaching little Sunday school kids, we taste things like this, that, hey, God likes to play hide and seek. You know, but you get a reward when you find him after he hides himself. And so they get excited. Well, as little children, Jesus said, look, except you be converted and become as little children, you can't even enter in the kingdom of God. As little children, in our minds, you know, let's understand the same thing. That's a reward. You know, when you're doing that hide and seek, treasure hunt, when you find the treasure, there's something there. You know, so there's something there too. When you will seek me, you will find me, you know, remember, and ye shall, you know, that's an imperative. Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, if we search for him with some of our heart, there's no guarantee. There's no promise, you know, that we will find him. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you seek for him and search after him with all your heart, that's a guarantee. You know, we should try that. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And then he gives some other promises. Well, when you find him, there's some benefits. So the benefits come after that. But I want to focus on the benefits today. I want to focus on the process, what we must do. The benefits will come, you know, but what must we do? Well, let's look at how Jesus described, you know, and how he places the benefits with what we must do. Jesus' famous teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6 of Matthew, he spent the most of the chapter talking about things that we should not be consumed about. We should not be consumed about what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. We should not be consumed about, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, and all these things. I mean, he spent that whole chapter, well, a lot of the chapter, other parts, he talked about, you know, how we should pray, how we should give alms, how we should fast, and so on. And then he started to talk about all these other things that should not consume us. Well, how should we do it then if we're not, you know, I mean, what should we be seeking? How do we seek God rather than the things that God can offer? Many times when we say we are seeking God, most of the time when people take time out to fast and pray, it's because we have some mountain and we have some challenge that we need to overcome. And then we go to God in prayer, which is okay, you know. But there is this lack of seeking the Lord for him. Seeking, some people call it seeking his face rather than seeking his hand. Well, you know, I call it seeking him because, you know, it's him. Whether it's his face, his hand, and so forth. But the reason people put it like that is like good hand of the Lord is upon us to bless us. His face is what causes us to know and understand his glory and who he is. So that's why people put it like that. But we must seek him. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, but, you know, seek ye first. Didn't say you shouldn't seek those other things, but he puts it in perspective. The first means, you know, that's your priority number one. Priority number one is for us to seek the Lord. And you say that, well, I already know these things. Yeah, we know it. If the Bible says, well, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, so blessed are ye if you do them. These are the things that we must do, you know. Now, so let's read from verse 31. You know, therefore, take no thought saying, because, you know, a few verses before that, he has been talking about, you know, right from verse 24, he has been talking about it. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is like the spirit behind money, you know. And, you know, he said, look, don't take any thought for your life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Not yet for your body. What you shall put on. It's not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Talking about the fowls that fly in the air. Well, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You sit down, you think about it. I need to gain 6 inches or even 1 inch. You know, you think about it, you think about it, you do whatever. Is that going to make it happen? No. You know, but so if you can't do that, Jesus say, look, you know, and you, why do you take thought for what are you going to wear? And all of this is just not saying you shouldn't wear anything, but he's saying that, look, you can't do the smallest things, you know, so just leave it up to your Father. Why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. You know, how do they grow? You know, but they grow. Just look at how they grow. They do not toil, they do not spin. But I tell you, Jesus said, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wow, my goodness. Look at those lilies. They call him the lily of the valley. You know, and they say, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? So every time that we are consumed with these things, that Jesus says, look, divert your attention away from this and focus on seeking the Lord. Anytime we are consumed with those things, in God's analysis, we are of little faith. That's what it means. You know, so if you think you're a person of faith, well, and you find yourself doing all these things which Jesus says, don't be consumed with, then you are indeed of little faith. And the Holy Spirit may tell you, you have no faith. Some of you have heard the Holy Spirit tell you that you have no faith. And you say, oh, but I have faith. He said, no, you don't have any faith because you are consumed with all these things. I already told you not to be consumed about. That means you are have no faith, or you have very little faith, you know. And he said, look, rather than saying, what shall we eat? I mean, he's just going over the same thing. Look at the emphasis he's paying. I said about 3 or 4 times already. What shall we eat? What shall we be clothed? You know, this thing. He said, look, these are the things that the Gentiles who know not God, these are the things they seek after. That's their day from morning till night, because they don't know to seek after anything else, you know. But he's saying on your side, though, you know, in your case, you should know that your heavenly Father already knows that you have need of these things. And Jesus was always trying to introduce that relationship of Father. Call you your heavenly Father. He already knows you have these things. Now, but here's what Jesus is directing us to do. But seek ye first that kingdom of God. Well, there's a big gap there too, because you can't seek the kingdom of God if you don't know what the kingdom of God is. You know, so Jesus went on later on to tell them a lot about the kingdom so that they can actually learn. So these are the things you should be seeking after, you know, the kingdom of God. And he taught them to pray that a kingdom come, O Lord. Pray, seek the kingdom, understand the benefits of the kingdom, what the kingdom looks like. It's really hard for people because, you know, all we see is what we see. And we don't understand spiritual things. We don't understand the kingdom of God. So Jesus took time to teach on many things. You know, hundreds of scriptures talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And that's what he's asking us to seek after. And his righteousness. You know, so, because that's who he is. Except the scepter of thy throne, O God. It's a scepter of righteousness. That's who he is. A righteous God. You know, he will by no means tolerate iniquity or unrighteousness. There's no unrighteousness will ever be found in him. So if we want to be a part of him, we have to understand his righteousness. And not our own righteousness, not the righteousness of the world, which is really nothing. Our own righteousness in ourselves are like filthy rags, he said. You know, but to get his own righteousness, that means being in right standing with God, how God sees it, not how I see it, not justifying myself, you know, in the ways of the world or in my own eyes, but how does God see it? So when we truly seek the Lord, his kingdom, his righteousness, to know who he is, he said, well, these other things will be added unto you. It's a complete package, but you start by seeking the things of God. You know, and then he said, look, don't even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You have enough trouble for today already. So that's how Jesus put it, to seek the Lord's righteousness and his kingdom. You know, and I'm going to come back again later on and do another kingdom series. Yeah, I've taught it here, but there are new people on this platform now that have not heard that those kingdom series. So we'll come back. And even if you heard it, you need to hear it again. It's like reading the Bible. Sometimes you read the Bible and then you go back and read again. When you read again, you get some more insight and so on and so forth. You know, so, you know, now here's another verse in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Now we know what the Lord said about, you know, those who believe the Lord, who did all of these things. You know, what the Lord even said about Enoch. And Enoch is one of my favorite characters. In fact, the title of this, Our House, Walking with God, is patterned after Enoch. Because he was the first one in the Bible that was said concerning him. You know, so every time I look at Walking with God, I actually think of Enoch. But here's what this scripture says about Enoch. You know, we know that Enoch, we're told that by faith he was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Now, verse 6, this is Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible. Can't do it to please the Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're still talking about seeking. You know, that's a reward when you seek him. When you seek me with all your heart, diligently, this is the same as Jeremiah 29:13. You know, you will be found of me. That's a reward. You'll be found of him when you seek him. So We're still on point number one of seeking. Well, let's look at, you know, when we're talking of seeking, I want to set the record straight here. There are different kinds of understanding and different kinds of seeking. Let's look at Job chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. Just so we set the record straight. You know, because this is not, you know, this is not the knowledge that we gain necessarily by going to seminary school and all of these things. Those things may have their place, but that's not what we're talking about here. You know, but Job chapter 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Now let's set the record straight. Now God is telling you to seek for him, but this scripture is saying, well, can you by looking around find him? So there is a mystery and there's an answer to that. Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? Well, to find the Lord, this search, you have to search as high as heaven. You know, what can you do? You know, go deeper than hell. You know, what can you know? You know, the measure of this search is longer than the earth, is broader than the sea, and so on and so forth. You know, what can you do? How can you really find God? The knowledge of God is so, you know, what can you do? Well, you do what he told you to do. Come with all your heart. But the finding really, you know, is the one that's going to reveal himself. And we must do the seeking. So this is the level I want to level set here. We must do the seeking, but unless he reveals himself to us, you can't do it. You won't be able to find it. And then you say, well, but he said I should seek him. Yeah. Then why am I not finding him? Well, listen to this Matthew 11, you know, he says in verse 27, all things, let me just read it from verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. And that's the paradox about God. The wise people are the ones that should know these things. But they're wise. And they're prudent. They're cunning. They're sharp. You know, they should know these things. But God doesn't necessarily give those things to them. But in fact, this scripture says he hides it from them. Now, this is the wisdom of the world. We're not talking about the wisdom of God here. Those who are wise in their own conceit, I mean, scholarly wisdom and education and all of that, that can't really find God, you know. But how does he do it? Well, he reveals himself. While we must search for him, we have to realize that he's the one that's going to do the revealing. I mean, you can take, and it's good, take scripture, take versions of the Bible, take the Hebrew, take the Greek, take the English, take the Aramaic, take all these ones and compare words against words and so forth. Well, you may find something, you may learn a few things, but the letter killeth, the spirit that gives life. You know, too much learning, you may even be confused. But the knowledge of the Holy Spirit when it comes, of course, you seek him. He doesn't just reveal himself if we're not seeking him. You seek him and then he may shed some light. And he says, these things are revealed unto babes. Those are just calm as if they know nothing. You sit at his feet, you know, like Mary. You know, you say, well, you know, this is a great opportunity. I can't miss it. Just sit there. You know, even so, he said, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Everything God does is good. If he chooses to blind the eyes of some, it's good. For whatever reason is best known to him. If he chooses to reveal himself to others, it's good. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It's good. I will harden whom I will harden. It's good. If he chooses to they chose to hide in Pharaoh's heart, it's good. Because whatever the Lord does is good. So now Jesus said, look, you know, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. So this knowledge that we are talking about, even though we are saying you must seek him in order to know him, this knowledge, you have to also recognize, we got to balance this. You can't really do it just by comparing letters to letters. You must seek him with all your heart. But the knowledge, the revelation is coming from the Lord. The knowledge of the Son of God is not, I've taught this lesson one time. The knowledge of the Son of God, is it by education or by revelation? The knowledge of God, is it by education? Well, yeah, education is important. We have to educate, we have to teach our kids, we have to do this, we have to do that. However, the true revelation comes from the Lord. The true inspiration. The same, I mean, multiple people can hear the same things. It can make impact in the life of some, and it may make no impact in the life of others that hear the same thing. Consider this story at the beginning of Adam and all his sons. You know, the first six of his sons, their generations, they heard the same stories that Enoch heard, but it made no impact on them like it made on Enoch. They all heard it, and they might all have asked the same questions. What meaneth these cherubims with the flaming sword? What's in behind that place? And Adam would tell them those stories. And not so many of them would say, ah, a wonderful story, father, or grandfather, or whatever they were at the time. And they just moved on. Finally, one guy came, asked the same questions. So what's in there behind? Why are those things there? I mean, why are they trying to scare us away from that place? What's in that place? And Adam would tell the story. And the man would say, wow, you mean we can't go in there with all that stuff that is in that place? And all the knowledge and the power that you had. You mean you could talk to animals? You could talk to the fish? I mean, you could do all these things? I said, yeah. Well, why not? Why can't we do those things then? Why can't we go in there? So, well, I'm sorry, son. He drove us out. Why? He did this and that. But why? You know, our children are, you know. And he said, Adam had no answer for these things. And he said, well, you mean you just left like that? So what's next? Say, well, we're waiting to die. You're waiting to die? That's all? We're just going to be here waiting to die? Well, yeah. He said we're going to die in the day that we do this thing. And we did it, and he drove us out, so we're waiting to die. You know, you mean all of that, and we're just now going to sit around and wait to die? No, I'm going to find out for myself. So, you know, this same, everybody heard the same stories. It only made impact on one person that engaged in the spirit. The rest of them engaged in the story in the flesh. They say, oh, grandpa, that's a wonderful story. And they just moved on. The same thing when we bring the word of God. People will hear the word of God and they say, ah, that's a wonderful teaching, pastor. But that's it. After that day, no impact. They don't remember anything. You know, because we haven't engaged in the spirit and we're not seeking to know him the way that he reveals himself. So this is very important. That's why I'm taking my time in this series. Very important. I'm going to break this down, you know, so that we get it. Now, once we understand that the level of understanding comes from the Lord, cannot come from us, you know, let's read. Let's read Isaiah chapter 29. I'm going to read a few verses there. We're still on the subject of we've got to seek him. We got to seek him in order to know him. But realize that when you are seeking him to know him, he's the one that's going to reveal himself. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And, you know, Matthew 16, took an opinion poll, and they said this and that and this and that. He said, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And so Peter gave an answer, and Jesus turned around and said, look, I tell you something. This answer that you gave, you did not learn it from man. You didn't. It came from my Father, revealed it to you. So this is what I'm talking about today. You know, the Father is the one that can reveal these things. You know, so what did he say in Isaiah chapter 29? Let's take a look at this. You know, the vision. Well, let me read it from verse 10. I was going to read verse 11 from verse 10. For the Lord had poured out the spirit of deep sleep. Now, close your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, as he covered. And the Lord can do these things. That's why we ought to pray and be in awe of him. And to pray to be vessels of honor that receive his revelation. Because he can choose to blind the eyes of some. And he can choose to reveal things to them. Well, he chose to blind. He said, look, that vision of this thing, everything about what we're talking about today in Isaiah 29:11, it's like the words of a book that is sealed, right? We give this book to one that is learned. He's sharp. He's shrewd. He's educated. He's wise. You know, I mean, he's gone to school. You give it to him. Read this thing and tell us what it says. And he looks at it and says, I can't read it because it is sealed. So why can't you read? Why is it sealed? I can't get in there. But you're learning. Well, it's sealed. Okay. All right. Well, so we take the book and give it to one that is not learned. And he said, read the book. And he said, well, I can't because I'm not learned. So you see, neither the one that is unlearned nor the one that is learned can read the book. So even the one that is learned, he can't even read it because it is sealed. The other one couldn't read it anyway, even if it was open, because he's unlearned. So you can see the mystery of God, how he does it. You cannot by searching find out God, but we must search. But then remember, he is the one that's going to reveal himself. And when we are really searching the Lord, if we really want to know about the Lord, then clear your mind. Come with a clean slate. Don't come with any preconceived notions. And so throughout these teachings that I'm in now, I'm going to ask you to do that when we get to some things. Clear your mind. Just let the Lord reveal to you. You know, because the one that was already educated, he already had some stuff in his mind and so on, but that was not what was in the book. You know, and the other one, he couldn't even know anything because he was unlearned anyway. So that's to balance it out. You know, that you've got to seek the Lord with all of your heart. But the knowledge of God must not be taught by the precept of men. In fact, if you read verse 13 here, he says, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me. But I removed their heart far from me. Remember, you must search for me with all your heart. Can't be anything else. Their affair toward me is taught by the precept of man. And God hates the precepts of man. He just hates it. They're not aligned with God. They just, their ways. They're just rigid in their ways. This is how you must do things. That's not how God is. You know, I mean, you know, he said, look, because of all that, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among these people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. The understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. I mean, this is God. You know, so where then is the wise of this world? Where then is the prudent of this world? I mean, you know, because God in the book of 1 Corinthians tells us it, you know, takes the things that, you know, as despised, uses them to confound the great and the mighty. I mean, it just... all these things are incredible in God. So if you ever know anything about God, where is boasting then? You know, this is the thing. There is no boasting. There's no room for boasting because you did not know it. Even though you sought him, he is the one that revealed it to you. You did not know it by yourself. There is no boasting. For, you know, he said, look, where is boasting then? If the Lord I mean, if everything you received came from God, then where can you boast? Because you could not have had it if you didn't receive it. So there is no boasting. That's why we can never, if you truly understand the things of God, can never look down on somebody that doesn't understand. Because you did not understand it by yourself. You know, it's the Lord that made you understand it. And their own time will come too. Hallelujah. And they will understand it. You know, all the trees on the, all the fruits on the tree do not ripen at the same time. You know, some of them ripen first. Others are still green, while some are yellow. And so on and so forth. You know, but eventually they'll get there. You know, so if you pick the yellow fruit and then you condemn all the green, well, then you are not wise. Because the one that was yellow, I mean, the one that's yellow now was green at one time. So this is the wisdom and this is, you know, the grace of God that teaches us these things. There is no boasting, you know, there is no boasting whatsoever. We'll talk more about that when we get to knowing him. You can see how long it takes just to deal with seeking him. That's why I've broken this up into many parts. It'll take a long time for us to get through this, but we will get through it. And here's another scripture in Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 22. I mean, similar to all these things that we have been, same things that we have been talking about. I just wanted to show you from multiple scriptures. Jesus, you know, when he sent out his disciples, right? And you send them out two by two and all of these things. You know, it was like a training mission of sorts, you know. And then they came back and they reported to him and said, look, you know, the, you know, devils, all these things and so forth, you know, subject unto us and all of that. He told them, look, he said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Behold, I grant unto you power and all that, you know. And then he said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So when you have power to cast out devils or to do great miracles and so forth, that's not really the foundation. That's not what you should be shouting and hollering about. You should be rejoicing because your names are written in heaven. And Jesus put things in perspective. Yeah, the demons may cry out and come out when they see you or at your command. Yeah, you may do all of these things. But look, the bottom line is God chose you before the world began. And he began to say, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Same thing as we read in Matthew 11. And I say, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. You know, for so is even good in thy sight to do. And all things are delivered unto me. Exactly what we read in Matthew 11. You know, and no man, you know, can know the Son but the Father. And no man can know the Father but the Son and who to whom the Son will reveal him. So, you know, in these two places, just wanted to show you that they are there. And so both Matthew and Luke reported the same thing. So that's what seeking him is all about. But the purpose of seeking him is to know him. So I'm going to go to the next point here, which is knowing him. And that's where I'm going to stop today. But I'm not even going to finish the knowing him part because it's a long teaching. But let's talk about it. We already started off by Paul. You know, we read about Paul that said, look, I want to know him, that I may know him. That's where this part of the lesson came from, that I may know him. That was Paul. Well, what about Moses? In the book of Exodus chapter 33, we read in verses 18 and 19. Now, this Moses, we're now in Exodus chapter 33. You know, if you read the Bible chronologically, you will notice that a lot of things has happened in Exodus 5 through 13 and 14. You know, and great signs and wonders in the land of Egypt by the hand of Moses. And, you know, at the Red Sea also in chapter 14 and so forth, tremendous, the singular most spectacular miracle in that Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. Nothing like it. You know, and all of the great victories that the Lord had shown. This Moses, I mean, he has seen things that nobody has seen. I mean, he saw the Lord in the burning bush, you know, Exodus 3. The Lord took him to the land of Egypt, and all those things, himself, Moses versus Pharaoh and so on. You know, many chapters in there and all the things that the Lord did, culminating in the Red Sea, you know, water coming out for them in the wilderness and all kinds of things, power that he has seen. And yet, at this point in his life, what is this prayer that he is praying? You know, so let's consider it, because this is what we are trying to say in this series. You know, when the Lord has spoken to Moses, I mean, Moses prayed, he said, look, you know, if you have found, we found grace in your sight, then go with us. And if you're not going with us at all, then let us not go anywhere. You know, and the Lord said, you know, that's all right. You know, you found grace in my sight. You know, and then the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken because you found grace in my sight. It's Exodus 33 and 17. And I know thee by name. So now when the Lord says something unto you, you better latch onto it. Find something that you can use in what he says. Same thing like if you know, see the scriptures, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, find something in there. Read the scriptures, find something in there. Same thing. You know, it's like the Syrophoenician woman. Lord says something to her. Well, I can't take children's bread, cast it to dogs. Well, she found something in there. Say, oh, dogs? Oh, yeah, but the dogs can eat the crumbs. And she, you know, take the word of God as it is. Find something in there that you can use. There's always something that you can use. Even though it appears negative at first, there's always something that you can use. And, you know, and more so if it is something positive, then latch onto it. When you are on a roll, stay on a roll with God. Now, Moses is on a roll here. The Lord is saying, you found favor on my side. I know you by name. So this man, you know me by name. Well, then I'm going to milk this experience. And now Moses said, I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Now, this is a prayer that many of us, most of us have not learned how to pray or even know what it means. Because this man has seen the burning bush. This man has heard the voice of God multiple times. This man has done incredible miracles. Even a stick in his hand turned to all kinds of things. He has used that stick to perform miracles. He has done even creative miracles called frogs and, you know, locusts and things out of nowhere. I mean, this man has parted the Red Sea, you know, he has done all kinds of things. Are you telling me that all of that is not glory? He's still saying, Lord, show me thy glory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the prayer we ought to be praying every single day. No matter what we have seen nothing yet. I say, look, the glory of God, like in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. He said, look, the knowledge of the glory of God, right? Well, is going to be as the expanse of the ocean. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means what you have of it is like taking a bucket to the ocean. You know, you can take your fill, but you can never discover the ends of it. You know, you can choose to come with a bucket, take your fill and go away. Well, that's fine. Another person may come with a barrel, which is much larger than a bucket, maybe 50 times the size of a bucket that it will contain. They can take their fill and walk away. Fine. Another person may come with a tanker, you know, like those oil tankers or, you know, something, and maybe contains, you know, 50,000 tons of whatever. Fine. They can take their fill and go away. What happened to the ocean? It's just still the same. It doesn't even look depleted. You know, so come, you know, to the Lord again. This is what we need to do. Moses had done, seen all that stuff, yet he was still saying, Lord, show me thy glory. This is seeking the Lord to know him. And yet, are you saying Moses doesn't know the Lord? He's heard the voice of God. He's seen a lot of things. God has spoken to him. He has actually, at this point, he has gone to Mount Sinai. At this point, the Lord had given him the commandments. He has seen the finger of God right on those tables. At this point, he has seen it. And he's still saying, Lord, show me thy glory. At this point, he was already separated. God already made a distinction between him and the rest of the people. But nobody else come up on the mount. But you come up here and talk with me. I mean, he's already experienced all of that. And still, he's coming out here and say, Lord, show me thy glory. Now, this is so profound, I can spend a whole day just talking on that. And this is where this series or mini series of knowing him is all about. Doesn't matter what you already know. It does not matter. What you already know is nothing like you should know. And I don't care who it is, myself included, as teaching this lesson, we know nothing yet as we ought to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet, even as he ought to know. So, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord, how high you've gone, what you've searched, the degrees you have, even in theology or whatever, and how well you can break down this word, even when it comes from the inspiration of the Lord, not just secular learning, even when it comes from the inspiration of the Lord, you still do not know as you ought to know. That's right. So this is the prayer, is to know him. There are many aspects of himself that he has not revealed to you yet. You know, but the Lord is always surprised when we don't take the time to know him. And disappointed is more like the word. You know, disappointed. We'll come to that. You know, but how does the Lord want us to know him? Well, in the book of, this same book of Exodus 34, after God told Moses, you know, you have found favor and I will show you, I will answer your prayer. He was praying for the, see the glory of God. The Lord said, I will answer your prayer and I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. Well, so now you're beginning to get an insight into what the glory of the Lord contains. How in the world can you handle all of the goodness of the Lord? You can't even handle some, you know. What's the definition of goodness? What's the definition? What one word that comes to mind when you think of the Lord? I did an exercise one time in this room. I said, what is the one word that comes to mind? Put it in the chat room. In fact, I'll do that now again. One word that comes to mind when you think of him, when you think of the Lord. What is the one word? Help me out here. Just put it in the chat room. One word that comes to mind. Just one word. Not a whole sentence. Just one word. When you just think of, because these are the attributes of him that you must know and understand. So what is the one word, if I ask you right now, spontaneously, don't spend 1 minute thinking about it. The first thing comes to your mind when you think of the Lord, just one word, put it in the chat room. I'm going to go back in a bit and see what people are saying, you know, because this is what we're talking about when we're saying, you know, to know him. The Lord said, look, I'm going to show you all of my goodness and cause it to pass before you. So go, you know, such a place. And when he went and the Lord came by, but let's see how the Lord introduced himself. And this is the Lord now introducing himself, not, you know, what people say about him, but this is what he says now about himself. And so this is very intriguing that we should read it carefully. Exodus 34, this is in answer to Moses' prayer. Exodus 34, verses 5 to 7. You know. So, and the Lord passed by, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, this is the Lord introducing himself. Now, this is not what somebody else said about him. So what he's saying about himself. I mean, you know, who else to better introduce himself than the Lord himself? And the Lord God said, he said, the Lord passed by him and proclaimed. He said, the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord proclaimed his own name. So what he says about himself, he said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Now let's begin to see some of these attributes, because these are all the things we must know about him. And you know, we're going to come back tomorrow and deal with more of them. We must know these things. After that, the Lord proclaimed his name and called himself the Lord, which is Elohim, the Lord God. You know, the Lord, he is God, which is what Elijah stands for, you know. And the next attribute out of his mouth about himself is merciful. That's right. That's the first thing about himself. So we see that that is the highest attribute about God. Now we say God is love, and he is. But the first thing that God said about himself here is merciful and gracious. Now that is, you know, you talk about when you make your introduction, when you meet people, you put your best foot forward. Some people say that kind of thing in our, you know, in our society and so forth. Well, here's God putting forward his best attribute. And he said, merciful and gracious. Long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And this is God introducing himself. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And this is the first part of his introduction. So if the devil or your mind should ever tell you that God did not forgive you, think again. You know, now this is the thing. Or the Lord say, well, you know, God will not be merciful unto you. Think again. This is the first part of his introduction about himself. But then, because he's a righteous God, he has to balance the equation, you know, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, children's children, and so forth, third and fourth generation, you know, and all that. So the Lord showed his goodness and his severity. So, but if you take the goodness of the Lord, you never have to deal with the severity. Severity is there just for checks and balances. Keep us in check. You know, but this is what he really wants you to have. You know, the first thing he introduced to you is mercy and his grace. If you can have that, you're good. You don't need to deal with his severity. You don't need to deal with punishment for sin if you receive his mercy and forgiveness. That's right. You know, so why not receive his mercy and his forgiveness for your transgression and your sin today? Why not? Receive his mercy. Receive his transgression. I mean, a forgiveness of your transgression. And you don't never, never will have to deal with the severity of the punishment for unconfessed sin. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's how God introduced himself. You know, I'm going to come back tomorrow and cover some more aspects. But before I do, let me read to you Psalm 46 and verse 10. The Lord himself invited us and say, be still and know that I am God. Well, you can't know until you are still. You know, Martha was running around and so forth. And Jesus said, look, you need to be still like this, your sister. Sit down right here. Like she did. I'm not going to take this from her because she's chosen the needful part. You know, sometimes distractions, too many distractions. And, you know, we've talked about this multiple times in the room. Even religious distractions. They're still distractions. There's a time for everything. When it is time for you to focus on knowing the Lord and seeing what he will reveal of himself, that's not the time to even go to listen to some message. Even this, my teaching. That's not the time. You listen. There's time for that. There's time when you are in his presence. Don't be distracted by anything. Stay right there. And he wants to teach you. He wants to reveal something. Don't let the flesh get you to run off. Because the flesh can't stand the presence of God. So cause you to run off, be distracted and all kinds of things. Get rid of all those things. Now let me read a few other scriptures and then we'll come back for some deep stuff here tomorrow. Now, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Peter had written two epistles. This is the last of his second epistle. And this is the last thing he will say about that. And how is he going to end it all? Well, let's read it. This is the very last verse of his second epistle. So, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know all these other things, you know, before, beware lest also that you be not led away in the error of the wicked, so that you do not fall from your old steadfastness. But listen to this. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is what it's all about. You must grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he telling them this after all these things? Well, yeah, you've got to grow in the knowledge. Even Ephesians, Paul said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, you know, Christ led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And all this, even these ministry gifts that he gave, first he gave some apostles, then he gave some prophets, then he gave some evangelists, and then he gave pastors and teachers. And he's telling us the reason, you know, for the purposes behind all of those giftings. And here is how he puts it. He said, all of these are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come united in faith to, in the unity of the faith. We're coming in the unity of the faith. We're not coming to the unity of the faith, but we're coming in unity to understand the knowledge of the Son of God. Then we're coming unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is where we're coming to. You know, the knowledge, this is all about knowing who Christ is. This is what the whole Bible is about, from Genesis to Revelation. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is where I am going to leave it today to allow time for discussions. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about, you know, how God introduced himself even in some other places and how Jesus introduced himself even to the disciples. And Jesus's displeasure or disappointment when, you know, his disciples didn't understand or know him like they should have. So why should we know the Lord? What are the things we have covered today? Well, or how can we know the Lord? We need to seek him in order to know him. And we can't really love him because, you know, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," and all that. Well, we can't really love him if we don't know him. So we're going through this process and this journey of how, you know, we can know him in order to love him. But in order to know him, we have to seek him. So that's why we're taking it slow and covering it just like that. Taking it slow and covering it step by step for us to understand it all. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to also, I'll try to cover, you know, some other things tomorrow, and then we'll see where we go from there. Think on these thoughts though, as you go. We'll cover most of these tomorrow, but think of this as you go. And there's an exchange between Jesus and his disciples in John 14. He's trying to set their expectation on things to come and what he's preparing for them and so forth. And I'm always talking about the Father. And in verse 8, we see that there was an exchange between him and Philip. You know, all the disciples had this question, but Philip was finally bold enough to say, said, look, you know, I mean, he asked him, he said, just show us the Father. And that will be sufficient. All this mystery about the Father, the Father, the Father. Show him to us already. And this is where we're going to leave it today. But I want to leave this question with you so that we can think about it when we come back tomorrow by the grace of God. Here's what Jesus said unto him. Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Well, that's a question. Or, let me rephrase it. Have you been all this time with the Lord, grew up in church, listen to all these sermons, hang around the ministry and so forth, all this time, and yet you have not known me? So we see that that's a prevalent situation today. There are many people, like Samuel was an altar boy, but he didn't know the voice of the Lord. Many people hang around the Lord and so on and so forth for years. And yet they don't really know him like he should. And Jesus was surprised about Philip asking him this question. It's something he expected him to have known, but they didn't know it. So we'll cover that tomorrow by the grace of God. Father, I thank you for this lesson as you prepare us for the knowledge of the holy and for the understanding that comes from God. As we seek you, Lord, teach us how to seek you aright, that we may know you. Because we want to love you, but we must seek you in order to know you. And to love you, we must know you. So help us, Father, even as we go through these lessons. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.